welcome in. It's another edition of Buccaneers Total Access here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Great to be with you again on a Tuesday night, and great to be with number 20. Good to talk and break down a Buccaneer win over the Chargers, a third consecutive victory. Look ahead to the upcoming matchup with the Panthers with Rondé Barber, who is back with us again. Good to talk to you, my friend, and I keep saying this happily. Congratulations on yet another victory.
Yeah, TJ, it's always good to sit down after a W. You know, it's good to sit down any day, but when you win, you got a lot more to talk about, and you feel a lot better about going into the next week. So, yeah, here we are 3 weeks in a row, feeling pretty good about ourselves. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, the team starts getting some confidence. You know, you feel like you're going to win every week. So, I don't know if you ask everybody else if they believe that, but for me, you know, these past couple of weeks have really felt like, you know, this is the week where we're gonna just keep rolling regardless of what happens in the game, and that was really the case on Sunday.
And I love getting to ask this, and I've gotten to ask it of you and of other players and of Coach Schiano. Why are you guys now, where earlier in the year you weren't able to finish off a game and get a win? This is 3 weeks in a row where the game could have gone either way, and you guys are now finishing these games off. Why?
That's, you know, there's a lot of reasons, I think. I mean, really, you know, a lot of those earlier games, the ones that we didn't finish, you know, it's not as if, you know, it was lack of effort or guys gave up or, you know, it was just kind of dire straits. And I've always believed that you just kind of run out of time in some of those situations. And, you know, the past couple of weeks we've come up with huge stops when we've needed to. You know, last week in Oakland we ended with two interceptions. This week we had an interception for a touchdown and then another interception to end their last drive. So, you know, when you're able to make plays at the end of the game, you know, particularly 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter or so, around that spot, you know, it usually translates into a W, and it has these past couple of weeks.
Again, we're going to take your phone calls here tonight. If you want to ask questions, want to say hey to Rondé, do so at 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And toll-free 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827 is the toll-free number. If you're outside of the immediate Tampa Bay area, utilize that toll-free number. Dial us up, and we'd love to hear from you. You can also tweet me a question if you like, or a comment, or both, that we'll pass along to Rondé. Do so at Buck Sideline Guy, B-U-C, Buck Sideline Guy. You don't want to call in. You don't want to wait on hold. Feel free to utilize that. So we're going to talk about a lot of different things here tonight, but let's talk some more about this Charger game, because it's still fresh within 48 hours. This was a game of big plays. They make a big play right off the bat on the third play of the game and get an 80-yard touchdown, but I think the measure of this team, offensively, defensively, even in special teams, is you guys, especially as of late, will respond to adversity. And I thought it was big after the big play that you responded with a long touchdown drive. But what about the big play, first of all, now that you've looked at the game tape, the Alexander play where he catches it over the middle?
As a team, we haven't looked at it. This was the second week in a row that Coach has given us a, you know, what he calls a modified Victory Monday. So
I like that.
We haven't got you're not completely off, but we don't we're only in there for an hour or so. So we haven't watched it as a team. I went in and watched it. I think a lot of guys probably went in and watched it when they were in on Monday. But, you know, that first touchdown was, you know, completely avoidable. Leonard, you know, it looked like he had a sure tackle, bring him to the ground. I mean, I guess give the guy credit for making an athletic play. He spun out of it, and Ahmad missed a tackle in the hole, and it's an 80 or whatever yard touchdown it was. Those type of plays are avoidable, and you shake your head, and you're upset with them. But at the end of the day, you know, we were able to make a drive, like you said, and come back and get right back on it. And, you know, that really turned the game back to even, which is kind of what you want to do after scores like that.
The blocked punt. I mean, they get another touchdown later on, though, in the second quarter. The blocked punt that we've been talking about now for a couple of days. That's a humongous momentum play. And once, I mean, you guys have blocked several punts and been close other times. That's a huge play in the game, Rondé.
That's, you know, I keep saying this every week that, you know, Coach really, you know, insists on, you know, that blocking punts is not only a way to, you know, turn, you know, football games, but also a way to set up returns. And so every week, you know, we go in feeling like we got a chance to block a punt. You never know who it's going to be. I'm sure Dakota didn't know it was going to be him this week. Actually, I think that block was set up for somebody else, but, you know, they spun the protection to whoever was supposed to be free, and, you know, you caused some confusion and left a clean shot. And, you know, that's Adam Hayward gets his first touchdown. He told me afterwards he had no idea how he's going to celebrate a touchdown. I laughed at him. I was like, you're not supposed to know. You know, it's supposed to be spontaneous. That's pure. It definitely turned the game around. There was a bunch of huge plays for us, as there's been, you know, the past couple of weeks that have contributed to our wins. And it's been by different people, and yeah, that's a sign of a good football team, or a team that's playing some good football right now.
It's kind of interesting. I was talking about this with the coach last night as we talked with Rondae Barber here on this Tuesday night edition of Buccaneers Total Access, that Dakota Watson in the Dallas game comes so close. He actually maybe even overshot that aim point that the coach talks about with trying to get the block. He gets a 15-yard penalty. In Oakland, Adam Hayward bursts free, and he misses the aim point and gets a 15-yard penalty. It's kind of poetic that the two of them are involved on the block punt, yeah. Dakota blocking it, Adam picking it up.
Right? It really is, because we, you know, we work on, you know, constantly work on, you know, the fundamentals and the technique of blocking a kick, you know, getting your the diamond, as we call it, on the ball. See the ball through your hands. You know, really, if you get there, and those two times they were there in time, plenty of time to execute, and weren't able to. You laugh at them a little bit in the meetings and yada yada yada, but at the end of the day, those type of plays win football games. So you're expecting them to work, and when you get a chance and you miss it, it's frustrating. So yeah, it is nice for both of them that, you know, when we needed one, because we were down in that game at that point, when we needed one, and they got their second opportunity, I guess you could call it, they cashed in, and it was very exciting. I mean, it's just exciting on the sideline. You know, whenever you get a special team score, it drives both sides of the football, offense and defense, and I think it was really kind of a momentum deal for us on Sunday.
Big deal. That's for sure. It's kind of interesting. We always make mention of this. It always is like 6 degrees of separation from Rondae Barber. The last block punt return for a touchdown, Rondae Barber, 2009 against the Packers. And that was in throwback orange.
Yeah.
So great stuff to get another one there on Sunday. All right. Much to get to here tonight, including the Carolina Panthers. We'll get to your phone calls as well. Jump aboard here on the phones. You can tweet in some questions and comments as well. For number 20, Rondae Barber tonight, as the Buccaneers are now 5-4, a 3-game win streak. Things on the uptick. It's got to continue in Charlotte for this week. We'll talk about that as we go along. It is Buccaneers Total Access. Stay with us here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Gene got a little excited there. Gene Deckerhoff with the call on Sunday as rookie Leonard Johnson helped the Buccaneers put away a 34-24 win over the San Diego Chargers. What a moment from Sunday. We come back in. It is Buccaneers Total Access with Rondae Barber here on this Tuesday. If you're on the phones, hang on for just a second. As somebody that would be, let's just say, an expert authority on interceptions and interception returns for touchdowns, that's a wow play there from that rookie.
That's a game-changing type play right there. I mean, they were driving. Just evidenced by the fact it's an 80-yard touchdown lets you know how much it turned the game. They went from a pretty certain scoring opportunity to field goal at least, a field goal attempt at least, to being down by 10 points. So that huge play by Leonard. I mean, obviously, it's not as if he worked too hard to get the interception. Phillip kind of threw it right to him. But you know what? You got to catch the ones they throw you. And, he got his hands on it. He scored. And you've seen a lot of guys in that situation hit him in the chest and drop it. But, you know, he not only catches, he takes it 83 yards or whatever, and made a huge, the biggest play of the game. So give him a lot of credit, man. The kid's played really well since he's had his opportunity here these past couple of weeks. And he's going to need to continue here these next couple of weeks. because we had a lot of young players in the secondary, and that's, you know, obviously no excuse for, you know, how we played back there at some points this year. But yeah, he's got to continue to get better, keep stepping up, keep doing what he's doing, because, you know, his ratio games to interceptions right now is pretty good.
Would be 3-3. He's played three games. He's got three interceptions. And as Coach Chiano points out, they took one away in the Minnesota game that could have been given to him on instant replay and was not. He could have four in that instance. For a young man, again, and everybody that's listening to us is getting more and more familiar with Leonard Johnson's story. For a young man that grew up playing high school football in Largo, Florida, in the Tampa Bay area, dreaming of playing potentially for the Bucs someday, to have a moment like that in a regular season game, in a fourth quarter with the game on the line, that's got to be surreal for a player. What was it like for you guys celebrating it with him to have that kind of moment, Ron?
Well, you know, you're starting to, you know, expect some things like that from him. He just finds a way near the ball, and I know a lot of a lot of teams see these young guys in there and they just want to keep taking shots at them, and you know, go 29, you know, whoever's the youngest, most inexperienced guy, you want to take shots at him. I don't know if that's necessarily true, but it certainly feels that way. And every time they've done it this year, you know, Leonard's kind of stood up to the challenge. You know, not only getting these couple interceptions, but, you know, a bunch of pass breakups, you know, some key tackles. That's what I like about him. He's shown, you know, the willingness to do it all. You know, put his face on somebody when, you know, a running back or tight end, whoever it is, coming around corners. I mean, that's the little stuff that I'm seeing out of him. You know, that can only make him a good player. I mean, I wish I was that confident when I was a rookie in the league. I mean, I obviously didn't get the opportunity, you know, to play when I was a rookie, but I definitely don't think I would have been playing with as much confidence as he is right now. That's awesome.
Coach Greg Schiano told this story last night on the radio. We'll repeat it here, that while he was the head coach at Rutgers, he came down for a satellite football camp in Florida, would have a couple of these every offseason in different parts of Florida, came for one down here, and this has been over 10 years ago, and Leonard Johnson, he didn't remember at the time, was at this football camp while playing quarterback in middle school and as a freshman, sophomore, somewhere around there at Largo High School, you know, dreaming of being a college football player. And he got his picture made with Coach Greg Schiano. Ronnie, I don't know how much of this story you know, but he got his picture made, shaking hands with the coach. And when Leonard signed his deal and was in the building and met Coach Schiano for the first time, he brought that picture to him to remind him. What a wild way that things work out. Yeah. That A, you would end up playing for your hometown team, and you'd end up playing for Greg Schiano years later. How about that?
That's a pretty interesting story. I mean, it is funny how this type of coincidences roll around in life. Yeah, I remember, you know, coach was pretty high on him when we brought him in because he was free agent, obviously out of college. He didn't get drafted. And he's like, hey, just keep an eye on this kid. You know, see what you think. And, you know, lo and behold, 5 months later, you know, he's a key player on our football team. So I'll give Coach that. He's definitely got a knack for spotting some talent.
Yeah, and certainly a huge play on Sunday. All right, let's get to the phones here on Total Access. We begin with Emery in St. Petersburg here with Rondé Barber on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hello, Emery.
Hi, Rondé Barber.
Hey.
My name is Emery Camp. And I really love it when you play football and you're really good.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah,
I was told that this is Emery and Emery's dad. So does Emery have a question, Dad, or was it just a hello?
Well, what Emery wants to know is she went to some games a couple of years ago, and I promised her that if the Bucs ever made the Super Bowl and I was in San Diego, Rondé, with you guys 10 years ago, I promised her a trip and tickets. Are you guys going to make me a poor man in the next couple of years? Or are you going to be around for it? Are you going to be around for it? I've left nothing better, man. It's fun to watch you.
I love it. I can't make any promises, but I'll do what I can for the rest of this one. How about that?
That's a 10-year-old that wanted to talk to you there.
Yeah,
wanted to
it.
Say hi. How about that? Yeah. Pretty cool way to kick off the show.
I know. I like the young fans just as much as the old fans.
Oh, yes. Well, remember, it was last week that we had a young guy that was going to football practice, right?
Yeah,
and Dad
had
to take over because he was on hold too long. So the youngsters wanting to get through here with Rondé Barber. You notice he didn't say anything about next year again. We tried last Tuesday about four more years, political process.
The one guy wanted 10.
One guy wanted 10. We tried four more. We can't even get next year yet. Back to the phones here on Total Access. Here is Martin in Mayaca, Florida. Hello, Martin on Total Access with Rondé.
Hey, Rondé. Hey, first off, I want to just say thank you for all your years of service. What a five-star Buccaneer you are. Five-star in the community. Whole nine yards, just first class every way, shape, and form.
Thank you.
And really my question is how good is Shiano? Looks like a great coach. He's got discipline, really got the young guys playing. I mean, obviously they brought him in to appeal to the younger guys. He knows the college ranks, et cetera. Being a veteran, mm-hmm. What do you see? And, I want your stamp of approval.
Yeah.
And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks for everything, man. Again, five-star, Rondé, man. You're first class. We love you.
Appreciate it. You know what, Coach? Coach gives he gives a pretty strong message. And I think more than anything, that resonates with guys. I mean, there's obviously a bunch of different ways you can do this deal, but his way is very clear. He's very concise about what he wants done. It's not that he's immovable on things, because he's actually been pretty good to us as a team. But his word is really kind of his trademark. He tells you something, he's going to do it, and he's always done that. He's fair. He's obviously difficult. I mean, I said earlier in the year, this was, during camp, was probably one of the hardest camps I've ever been through in my 16 years. And that's not only because I'm old. It was a tough camp. It was had a big commitment, that we were trying, a lot of things that we were trying to get done. But, he's very honest. And I think guys really like that feeling of honesty. He tells you exactly what he expects. It turns around on Sundays or during the week, and tells you exactly what he expects during the week, and it'll result on Sunday. Those results will show up on Sunday, and they do. That's probably about the biggest amount of proof you could get, from a team, was when you this is the plan. If we do this, this is what's going to happen. And bam, lo and behold, that's what happened. So he's got the trust of the entire team, and his way is a good way. There's a lot of consistency in the way he's doing things.
Martin, thanks for the phone call. On Twitter, again, you can tweet me at BucksSidelineGuy, B-U-C, BucksSidelineGuy. If you've got Twitter questions and comments for Rondé, you don't want to wait on hold, you can't get through, whatever the case is. Aaron, along those same lines, says for Rondé, what's your favorite attribute about Coach Shiano? Do you have something particular that you get a kick out of from the coach?
There's all those things. There's all those things that I mentioned, obviously. But I've grown past couple of, months or whatever. He's got a little sense of humor, It doesn't show itself very often, but it's in there, and it's kind of dry, and it's kind of, I don't know if this guy's kidding with me right now, he's a lot more personable than I think he comes across, and I don't know if he wants anybody to know that or not, but he really is, and that's what I think I've grown to like most about him. Because he can be both serious as the coach, and he can also, he can also dig at guys and, have a good time doing his job when things are, when guys are doing what he asks of them to do. And, you just appreciate that as a player.
He had a funny line. I got the privilege this morning of being the MC at a Buccaneer breakfast at Raymond James Stadium for invited guests. And he had a great line at the breakfast. The line of the breakfast was, I have a diverse group of players, diverse ages. He goes, I've got some players that are just out of college and they have no responsibilities at home, maybe a cat. And then I've got somebody like Rondé Barber who's got almost teenagers. So it's a diverse situation for him to get used to pro coaching as opposed to college coaching. So I thought it was a great line.
Yeah.
Everything from cats to teenagers.
Yeah. Hopefully I'm teaching him something in his first year as an NFL head coach.
Yeah.
I don't know what that may be, but learning something from me, hopefully.
All right. Back to the phones. Rick has been waiting in Bradenton on Buccaneers Total Access. You're up with Rondé Barber. Hey, Rick.
How are you guys doing tonight? Rondé, it's an honor to speak to you. I actually worked with you guys the year we won the Super Bowl. I did field operations. Not a major job, but was on the sidelines, you know, was in the tunnel with you guys, saw you guys, saw you and Lance and Sapp, and heard the conversations, and just the way you handled yourself, you're poised, you're so professional. I mean, it's truly an honor. I mean, you are the definition of an NFL professional player. And I'm a season ticket holder. I'm there, right over there, screaming, yelling for you guys. And well, my question is, do you have an exact number on your picks from your professional career? And do you have every ball somewhere on the mantle in your game room or somewhere in your house?
Oh, yeah. I have all 46 of them.
You've been talking about that shelf. Repeat that for those that didn't hear you talk about it.
It's a trophy case. I had a guy build a, you know, just a glass, you know, specifically for the balls, you know, it's, you know, measured out, sitting upstairs. I never go up there and see it, but they're all up there. The label, you know, my wife has labeled them all. I even got the, you know, that last game in Philly was the last game of the vet. I had somebody cut up some of the vet, and, you know, it's taped to the ball. I also have all my fumble returns for touchdowns balls. So I have I don't know about 60 balls upstairs. Nice and neatly organized, and you know, whenever anybody comes and stays, guest bedrooms are right around the corner from those, so they can admire them. it is what it is, man. You know, it's you keep your souvenirs. You actually, Leonard got that interception. It's funny you were talking about Leonard's the interception that they didn't give him in Minnesota. You know, he, you know, obviously sees how we do things. You know, bring the balls over to Jim Sorensen, and Jim will keep them because it's, you know, every ball is identified by the other team, so you know you can know what team you got the interception from. And so he brought that ball over to the sideline, and they didn't call an interception. Obviously, it was a wrong call, but they didn't call an interception, and he gave it to Jim. We were laughing. I was like, man, give that ball back to the refs, man. Yeah, that one didn't count. But he so he came to the sideline after the one he got on Sunday against San Diego,
right.
And I was like, now make sure you keep that one, label that one, and keep that one for sure. So it's something nice to have, some momentum. Or memento, you know. Sometimes officials are like, "Hey, you know, ball, you want the ball back after you score," and I'm like, "Nah, this one's mine." So
I'm keeping that.
Absolutely.
He was mentioning about being around Sapp, Brooks, Lynch. What did you take away from being around those guys in terms of leadership as a younger player that you are now able to impart over these last few years on younger players yourself, Ryan?
Just the example, you know, of how, you know, you want things done. You know, there's. You can talk to guys. You can do rah-rah. I mean, I'm not really a rah-rah guy. I mean, you know, if you ask some of the defensive players, I mean, I am on Sundays. That's about the only time I really raise my voice in excitement. But just the manner of going about your job, you know, and that's what I've always been. You know, been a consistently come to work, you know, whether it's, you know, Monday after a win or Monday after a loss or, you know, Wednesday when you're hurting or whatever it is, Friday when it's a half day, you know, just consistently doing my job the right way. I learned that from those guys. You know, they came to work to, you know, prepare for the game, and that's really kind of coach's message now is, you know, you're only gonna be as good as your preparation. And the guys that I had here and the coaches that I had here all those years, you know, the Rod Marinelli's, you know, Mike Tomlin's, and Tony's, obviously Tony Dungy's and Monty, they were all about preparation and that molded me, and you know, hopefully the message that coach now is giving them is being reflected in the way I've always done my job, and it can be an example for the guys. I hope that it is, because when I'm gone, whenever that is, you know, I expect somebody on this team, somebody on this defense, you know, to be the example every single day, because you know that's how young guys learn.
Back to the phones while we have a moment in this segment. John has been waiting in Tampa on Buccaneers Total Access. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up, John?
Hey, Rondy. Man, great to talk to you. I've been a huge fan. My most exciting Buccaneer moment was the interception there in Philly in the championship game. I think I jumped about 5 feet in the air.
I think we all did.
I did have a question.
Yes.
I was noticing the Minnesota game when you stripped Adrian Peterson. You turned around when you saw that we had recovered the ball. You reached down and kind of patted him on the back and looked like you said something to him. I was just wondering what it was you said.
Pretty observant.
Yeah,
you remember what
very
you said?
I don't remember what I said. A bunch of the guys were asking me. I'm sure I just said, something. Thanks for the, you know, fumble, or, you know, see you in a second, or I don't know. I don't know what I say on Sundays. I told you, like I just said, I'm a different guy on Sundays than I am during the week. I would never be so forthright in my, can we call it taunting?
Right.
During my 9 to 5 on Monday to Saturday, but Sunday, just, you know, I love what I do. Love my job. Sometimes it gets the better of you. I don't know. I'm sure I was nice to him. I hugged it up with him after the game, if that counts. So we're good.
I got you. Hey, because you're now playing safety, mm-hmm. you are more involved. Not to say that you weren't involved before. You're more involved in the run game and people coming at you. What was that like? Because obviously, fans know this. He busted a big play in the second half, but there were other plays when you guys came mm-hmm. up and were able to stuff him. What was that like going against Adrian Peterson from the safety position as you did?
Yeah, that's something I've had to work on, and you know, I talked pretty extensively with my coaches, some of my old coaches too, about just the tackling, you know, system, because we have a tackling system, but you know, getting to the tackling system is, you know, it's something I've had to, you know, work on and consciously think about every day in practice, and you know, so when you get to the game, it, you know, becomes kind of like, you know, it's habit. You know, you're not you know, wondering, oh my God, here comes this enormous, you know, train truck of a runner. You know, how am I going to get him on the ground? You know, when you go into the game, you have confidence in what you're going to do and how you're going to tackle him. Then it's a lot easier. And it really kind of showed up during that Minnesota game, because there was runs a couple of weeks before. It was one against Washington where I went in, missed the tackle, they scored a touchdown. You know, it's just the little things about the game. You know, like tackling angles and, you know, you know, how to approach a runner when he's in open field. You know, those things I've had to learn, had to fight, you know, some of my instincts. And, you know, it's week 9 or 10, I guess, and I'm still feel like I got, you know, a chance to get better here in the next seven weeks doing it. But it's you know, just from a straight personal point of view, though, when someone like that's coming straight at you, it's, you know, courage is paramount. You know,
especially if it's Peterson, you got to bring friends.
Yeah, well, it's anybody really, but you know, these runners nowadays. But you know, it can cower some guys. You see it on Sundays, you know, across the league. Just guys not willing to, you know, to take the charge or whatever, because you're gonna get hit and you're gonna get hard. But at the end of the day, you got to make the tackle.
It's the voice of Rondé Barber. We love his insight here on Buccaneers Total Access. I promise we'll get to the Carolina Panthers as we go along. I might want to talk with you about the Lakers not hiring Phil Jackson. You're a man of all sports and whatever.
How about
we might say a few words about that as we go along, too. And we'll get more of your calls as well on this Tuesday night. Stay with us on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in here on this Tuesday night. Bucks come off a third consecutive win. This one over the Chargers on Sunday. Will now play the Carolina Panthers coming up. More on them in a couple of moments. Again, 990-4620 if you're in Hillsboro. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And toll-free 1-800-596-BUCKS. Outside the immediate Tampa Bay area, wherever you can hear the show tonight through technology, whatever the case is. Got another call last night from California. A lot of Buck fans in California that are listening during the afternoon out there Pacific time. 1-800-596-BUCKS. That's the toll-free number to get to us. You can also tweet me a question at Bucks Sideline Guy, B-U-C, Bucks Sideline Guy, for your questions and your comments. Got another good one on Twitter before we go back to the phones. Let me see here. One is Matthew. Matthew says, I'm from Largo. Rondé, what is the mindset against Cam Newton for this game Sunday? So a little bit in the preview mode here. You guys were able to limit them and mm-hmm. beat them 16-10 in week 1 for whatever mm-hmm. that's worth 9 weeks later. But what is the mindset against Cam Newton in that offense, Rondé?
Cam gives you so many, you know, problems. You know, obviously he's a pretty good quarterback. He can drive back and throw the football. But, you know, the offense they run, that kind of that read option, you know, where he can run, option it, throw it out of it. I mean, that gives you a lot to prepare for. I mean, we, I think we had that, you know, that first week of the year, we had an extra week after the preseason to get ready for it. And I thought we had a really good plan for it, and I'm sure some of those elements will be back in the game plan this week. But you know, he's such a dynamic, you know, athlete that it's hard to pigeonhole him into anything on any particular play. And you know, that's why your preparation has to be so sound. I mean, it's easy to say that they're a 2-17 or whatever they are. I'm not even sure what their record is. 2-17, I believe, and they've really found ways to lose games, but. You know, they're always dangerous. I mean, you have him, you have the two runners, you have, you know, who I always say is, you know, not the best, one of the best wide receivers in the game. You know, they have a lot that you have to prepare for, and that's, you know, that's what this week's going to be about. And really can't wait to get started on them. It's a division game, obviously. You know, Cam is, you know, he's still Cam Newton. I mean, he won a national championship all by himself, and we all saw that. And he can do that in the pros too.
Back to the phones here. Ashley has waited in Tampa for a little while. Thank you for the patience. You're on with Rondae Barber here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hey, Ashley.
Hi, DJ Rondae. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. A little quick story and then a question. I remember you bringing your daughters to the skating rink for their birthday parties. We were there during speed practice, and my teammates had to coax me and convince me to go up and even say hi to you because I was so nervous to even talk to you. You and John Lynch have been my idols for years. My dad used to sit me in front of the TV when I was little and force me to watch football games.
Nice.
So my first jersey was a Rondae jersey. Really quick question for you. What, I guess, kind of is the plan to beef up the secondary? Obviously, the run defense is great. You guys are leading the league in negative plays. But obviously that pass defense is lacking a little bit. So what is your role kind of in, I guess, coaching and kind of being a leader for the young guys? And
yeah. You know
what do you guys plan to do to beef it up?
That's been the big question here the past couple of weeks. And I've said this over the past couple of weeks. First of all, I can't skate. So if you saw me at the skating rink, I was probably embarrassing myself. Probably holding on to the wall or holding on to one of my girls as they drug me around. But you know, that's been the question, and you know, because we're playing such good run defense, you know, it's really been on us in the past and on the back end. And you know, a lot of that has to do with, you know, the games that we've been in where teams have really kind of abandoned the run and just, you know, gone to throwing the ball, you know, an absorbent amount of times every week. You know, it's just something you've got to continue to work on. I mean, you know, they're going to make their plays, especially when they throw the ball 40, 50 times a game, you know, which we've seen the past 4 weeks, 3 weeks. But also, you got to find ways to eliminate the big plays. I said this last week, too, after our win in Oakland. We got to learn to play from the top down, you know, and get guys on the ground. You know, they had 330 yards passing last week, I believe Philip Rivers did. And 80 of them were on one play. I mean, those things can't happen. And that's kind of been our quote-unquote Achilles heel in our passing numbers. They're really kind of skewed because of the big plays that we've given up. When a ball goes over your head and they catch it, and you know, they get chunk yardage, as we like to call it, around the building. You know, that their passer rating goes up, their yards per catch goes, all that stuff goes up. And whereas, you know, you might get a stop on the drive or anything, it's one of those stats that, you know, that can be misleading to a degree. It makes you feel like you're playing really poorly, when in fact you're just giving up big chunks of yardage. And so we have to work on that. You know, the excuse that we're young is not a good excuse, but you know, it is what it is. You know, there's going to be a learning curve to it, and you know, the sooner we sooner and higher we get up on that curve, you know, the better off we'll be.
Yeah, and there are quirky plays that happen. I mean, E.J. Biggers makes a big play on the third down.
Yeah.
In the
how about that play?
Yeah, I mean, and you've seen the tape now too of this, and fans that were there saw it. He comes over, he's in great position, he bats the ball, and somehow it deflects and ends up in Eddie Royal's breadbasket, laying on the ground for a catch, and it ends up being a 20 or 25 yard play on a third down.
Yeah.
Where they're going to punt. Yeah. So sometimes there are quirky things that are keeping drives alive, too. Not to make excuses, but it happens.
That's when it comes down to it, too. We have to be able to get off the field on third downs. I mean, you want, you know, low yardage count, the passing game. You don't want big plays. You have to win on third down. And we were doing a really good job at it earlier in the year. And as of late, you know, they found some ways to Some teams found some ways to beat man coverages, beat our pressures, get the ball out quick. You know, those are when we I mean, it's like it's really the money down in the NFL. It's down you have to win. We need to do a better job all the way across the board of winning that situation.
I think Rivers was 7 for his first 7, something mm-hmm. like that. But in the second half, you got stops on third down, got the interception on the third down for the touchdown by Leonard Johnson. Why were you better in the second half if you can put your finger on something on third down Sunday?
I don't know. I mean, really, just guys doing their job better. You know, it's not as if they're not trying to do it in the first half, but you know, it's just I think we got into a comfort zone really in the second half. What they were going to try to do to us, and we just made some plays. You know, it's just you let the opportunity to make a play, you know, meet with good technique. Obviously, we're prepared to do it, and we started getting off the field. Now, and that was the difference. I mean, and that's been the case really all year. You know, we've been a especially in pass defense, we've been a team of two halves. You know, one good, one bad, one good, one bad, one bad, one good, one. You know, it mm-hmm. can't be that way if we're going to be a really consistent and a unit that you can count on.
Voice of Rondae Barber. We're here on Buccaneers Total Access with him on Tuesday nights, and we'll talk a little more about the Carolina Panthers as we go along here. By the way, a couple fun ones. All right, so are you the only one out of the household that can't ice skate when the caller there was talking about skating parties?
I can't. Not only can I not ice skate, I can't roller skate very well. I definitely can't roller blade. And my buddy's always trying to get me to roller blade with him. I was like, I can't do it. Like, I feel like I'm going to tip
over.
Can your
daughters skate backwards?
Oh, yeah. They can do it all.
They can skate backwards.
Yeah, they can
see,
do it
all. See, that's dumbfounding to me because I can't really ice skate either or roller skate. Yeah. But to see people skate backwards is even more amazing. Yeah.
I don't ski. I don't water ski. I don't do any of that stuff. So, I don't know. I think I'm pretty coordinated. But, you know, when you take that leverage, you know, the ability to push off the ground for leverage, you know, which I'm really good at, my balance, I'm not very good.
Okay, we're just getting the details here. All right, a fun one. The Lakers, in the middle of the night, Sunday night, make the coaching move. They had already fired their coach. Mm-hmm. Everybody was talking about Phil Jackson, and I know you're a sports fan, and mm-hmm. everybody's kind of buzzing about what the Lakers are up to there, and they don't go with a guy that's won 11 championships, including 5 with the Lakers in 2 different stints. So as a sports fan, how much does that surprise you that they didn't hire Phil this go-around for Kobe and the new Dwight Howard and Steve Nash? What about it?
I kind of joked right after they fired Larry Brown Mike Brown. That, here comes Phil. But yeah, I really didn't think it was going to happen. And I think partly just Phil's not a guy, it seems like not a guy right now that's going to commit to him. So they go with Mike D'Antoni. I think because he played with, because he coached with Steve Nash, because they're looking for a guy that they can guarantee is going to be there for a number of years, I bet Phil was wavering. That's why they went with Mike.
Another thing, and this kind of gets overlooked, D'Antoni was an assistant coach on the Olympic team in 2008 in China and
this past summer
in London, and he got to rub elbows and get up cozy with Kobe and with Dwight Howard. He had been coaching the Knicks, too, in that time period. But, mm-hmm. I mean, the NBA is a players' league, and don't think for a second that Kobe, Dwight Howard didn't have some input on who they might want, and that being on those Olympic teams with Mike D'Antoni didn't help in that situation, right?
I think the fact that Phil's name was even in there was shocking. I didn't see Mike D'Antoni being the guy, honestly. But it's not.
As the story goes, he gets called at midnight Pacific time Sunday night, which is the first time they had contacted him and offered him the job. And his reaction to the GM, Mitch Kupchak, was, are you for real?
Yeah.
Are you being serious? So even he was shocked, apparently, if you can believe
and
him on that.
And then he said yes. And then Phil the stories are Phil was like, well, I didn't know that I was on a timeline.
D'Antoni's not only I'm shocked, but when do I sign and where?
Yes, exactly.
How quickly?
Work with the guys he gets to work with now. He's like the luckiest man in the sport.
There you go. Well, it's kind of like getting to work with Rondae Barber there, back there in that defensive secondary. We'll have more with number 2-0. Coming up here, we'll talk more about the Carolina Panthers. We'll have time for another quick call or two. It is Buccaneers Total Access. Stay with us here on this Tuesday on the Buccaneers Radio Network. We Thank you for being with us here tonight. Still a few more moments with Rondae Barber as we get ready for the matchup with the Carolina Panthers. 990-4620 if you're in Hillsboro. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And 1-800-596-BUCKS outside the immediate area, 1-800-596-2827. Before we get back to the phones, Charlie asks on Twitter, hey, Rondae, would more of a Tampa 2 benefit and less blitzing the old bend but don't break? He's talking about in the defensive secondary. Just
it's an interesting question because we've played some 2 over the years. Obviously, I'm not a coordinator. I just do what I'm told but know a lot about defense. And, you know, the one thing that made us really good at 2, or, you know, our Tampa 2, was that the players, Brooks, me, you know, Hardy, Shelton, the guys that played Mike linebacker, anybody that played underneath coverage, Al Singleton during our Super Bowl years, you know, they understood the route concepts. And, you know, we have a lot of young guys, and to really hammer down those route concepts is a lot more difficult than it may seem. It takes a lot of reps, you know, of just playing that defense. And we do a lot of things on defense. At this point in the year, we don't have the time, you know, to nail down every single route and where every one of those underneath players is supposed to be on those routes. Because, you know, we were pretty good at it back in the day. You know, we had named routes. We knew exactly what was coming. You know, if you saw a certain look, you knew where you're supposed to be in the zone. And it's a lot more complicated than it may seem. I mean, it's easy just to say, oh, why don't we just play more two? Why don't we just play more two? But it's it's a comprehensive defense, and you got to do it for a long time. Like the Chicago Bears, I mean, they play it probably 70% of their snaps, but they've had guys that have been in the system for a lot of years and understand the routes and understand where everybody's supposed to drop and who's supposed to make what tackles, and that's why they're good at it. So.
Sure. And, you know, one thing, I just remember all of you guys talking about this, but especially Warren Sapp would talk about it, Simeon Rice would talk about it, Monty Kiffin, Tony Dungy. One of the biggest keys is to the previous Tampa 2 defense. You've got to get pressure on the quarterback with the front four if you're going to run that defense. But in general, you guys can't cover all day, obviously. You've got to get pressure on the quarterback somehow, some way.
No, there's no doubt that good defenses start with four-man pressures. That's no secret. You know, that's the best in the league. The best defenses in the league, the ones that are consistently at the top of the league, are the ones that, you know, are able to drop 7 guys and rush 4. Drop 8 sometimes and rush 3. And that's, you know, we have a young crew all the way around. And I think they've done a great job. I mean, obviously evidenced by the fact that we're number one rush defense in the league. It tells you something about how well they've played. But, you know, finding the right mix of coverage, pressure, all that stuff, you know, that's a week-to-week deal. We just got to keep working on it. You know, the players have to keep working on it. Because I think the games are called well. We have to be able to execute it when the time comes.
Back to the phones. Pat has been waiting in Sarasota. You're here with Rondae Barber. Actually, Pat is gone. All right, Mike in Safety Harbor. Let's see if Mike is there on Buccaneers Total Access. Hey, Mike.
Hey, I'm here. Rondae, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, Mike? How are you, man?
I'm doing just great, man. Hey, I've watched you over the years and everything. Been a big fan of you ever since you came into the league and ever since you had, like, big numbers all the way through your career. It's just been excellent, man. I mean, you do a great job all the way around, best cornerback, and now that you're playing safety, you're even playing great on safety as well. I mean, you are doing an awesome job, man. And, of course, like I said, you've got Hall of Fame career numbers right there, too. Everyone's been saying that. Of course, I even hear it from John Lynch when he's even announcing some of your games or whatever, and I hear him. And, of course, he's a Hall of Famer, too.
Rondae
as well.
Is secretly slipping him $50 bills there to say that. Yeah,
yes,
just
exactly.
Kidding.
I wouldn't say dollar bills at all. No, I don't think so. But anyways, though, Rondae, back what I'm saying about the numbers and everything and how you're playing, because it's actually been a while, but do you see yourself as – playing as a Pro Bowl level this year? I mean, because it seems like it's been a while since I've seen you at the Pro Bowl, man.
Yeah,
I mean,
I haven't been since 08.
Been way too long and everything.
I haven't been since 08. I got too old for the Pro Bowl.
Nah, you're not old, man. 37, you're not old, man. You're still just like 25, I think, or something. You know, man? I mean, I still think you're – I think I see you as a Pro Bowl this year, man. I mean, your numbers are good, and when you play Carolina coming up this Sunday, man, I think I see – I'm gonna give you like two interceptions and just get one return for a touchdown or whatever. Because I mean, you had one last time in week one, and I think this time just get the next one, return it to the house, and then get the next one and just do what you can from there.
There
and
you go,
man.
I like it. Appreciate it.
Mike doesn't want much. Thanks, Mike. Mike doesn't want much. He wants two picks and one return for a touchdown.
Yeah, that's not hard to do. Yeah, I can do that. We can come back on the, line. Next Tuesday and say that he predicted it. I can do that for him.
You know, one of the things that goes along with the whole Pro Bowl thing is your team has to be winning, has to be playing good football. And you guys certainly, the NFL Network, ESPN, you can go on and on down the list, has begun to talk about Buccaneers.
Yeah,
and
that's
I know
thing.
Your peers know about it, but I mean, the attention now around the country has begun to shine on this team with a 3-game win streak.
Yeah, right? That's good. I mean, we have a lot of guys that are and should be getting showcased. You know, we have some premier talent on this team, you know, and they're playing well, you know, especially look on offense. You obviously got, you know, guys on defense as well that are starting to shine. And, you know, just, you know, the consecutive wins, you know, obviously some of the splash performances that we've had on this team, you know, just people start to take notice, you know, and with that comes more exposure. And, you know, you get more TV games, you know, and obviously some of that will translate into, you know, future years. But, you know, people start paying attention. You know, one of the things I've always hated about some of the losing seasons that we've had here over the past 8 years or so was that you're insignificant at the end of the year, and that just drives me crazy. You know, when you're playing, not, you know, insignificant games, all these games mean something, but they're not, you're not generating a playoff push for you.
Right.
So, you know, just to be in that conversation, you know, it just makes, you know, going out and playing on Sunday, because, you know, we work Monday to Saturday. You go out on Sunday, you do it for the love of the game. You know, when you feel like you're playing for something, it's even better.
Playoff implications that everybody talks about, and you don't just want to be the spoiler. You want to have them for yourself, and certainly you keep winning football games. There are going to be playoff implications all over the place here in the next few weeks, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we've got 3 or 4 minutes left here. Carolina, again, going there. You know, I asked this last night of the coach. I'd love to have your feeling. You played these guys in week one. It's now 9 weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you go back and look at the week one tape as opposed to looking at what Carolina has done recently the last 2, 3, 4 games, Robbie?
Well, the week one game will definitely be in our cut up, you know, just, you know, so we know what we did last time, obviously. So, you know, they'll go and look at that cut up too, and just really compare it to some of the things you've seen in the last 4 weeks that, you know, if they've showed, and see if it marries up, see if they're still doing the same things. You know, I won't watch that last game until the end of the week, but they'll be in. You know, when we start preparing, you know, we cut up all the games that we have in our cut up, and you know, they're just intermixed or whatever. So some of our plays will be in there from that game, but I strictly focus on their last 3 games, just to try to get a feel for how the team is. You know, what type of plays they're calling, and I'll be the same way this week, even though we've already played them.
Steve Smith, you mentioned you've also got the tight end Olsen there, who at times you will be responsible for over the middle of the field. Just say something real quick about the weapons in the pass game.
Well, they definitely got weapons. And obviously, you know, Steve, I don't know that his numbers are, you know, jumping off the charts or anything, you know, like they have in the past. I mean, I think he's, you know, somewhere around 650 receiving or whatever. I'm not sure. But, you know, he is still, you know, to me, you know, one of the elite. He's one of those guys you have to account for. You know, Greg Olsen, when he came over from Chicago, you know, we knew he was a threat. I'm pretty sure he's leading their team in receptions thus far this year. He's just kind of a comfort guy for Cam. So they got the guys. We just have to be prepared to stop all of them, and not to mention those two guys in the running game.
That's a task coming up on Sunday, and again, we look forward to it, a chance to get to 6-4, win a 4th game in a row, sweep the Panthers. Rondé, best of luck. Thank you for the time again on a Tuesday night for Buccaneers Total Access. We appreciate it.
Thank you, TJ.
There is number 20. My thanks to Eric Saxonite. Great job helping out on this evening's show. We'll come back next Tuesday night with another edition of Buccaneers Total Access. Bucs and Panthers Sunday. We're on the air at noon from Charlotte. 1 o'clock is kick time on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Thanks for being with us tonight. Good night.
Brady!
Come to